And I praise is shifting, shifting the atmosphere till the heavens are open. This praise is shifting, shifting, shifting the atmosphere.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. Today we continue our series entitled Worship While We Wait. The purpose of the series is to help us better understand how we can best spiritually utilize the time we have, whether in quarantine or in transition from our past reality to our future. As we continue worshiping while we wait, here is a reminder that the definition of worship is to assign worth or value to something. Today's topic is waiting on the wind. Today is what the Christian Church calls Pentecost Sunday. We will talk more about Pentecost in a moment. That's a full plate that we have today. Worship, waiting on the wind, and Pentecost. Those themes could take months to fully explore, but we're going to attempt to unpack some of those concepts within the next few minutes. We have a large assignment to fulfill with today's podcast, so let's get started with today's scripture text. The text comes from Acts 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Series entitled Worship While We Wait, today's topic, waiting on the wind. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now in the humblest manner that we know how, asking God that you will lead, guide, and direct, and have your way as we have this discussion on today. We ask that you will open up hearts and open up minds to receive what it is that you have for your people, and that you will use me as your messenger, that we will not leave this podcast the same way that we came. In your precious and holy name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Although it has not happened in nearly a decade, when I was growing up, launching people from America into outer space was a must-see event. There was always something mystical about a space shuttle launch. This week, we were set to launch again for the first time in nearly a decade. But Wednesday's launch was canceled within half an hour of the planned takeoff because of weather. The SpaceX shuttle did successfully launch on Saturday. I'm glad SpaceX had a successful launch, but I wondered if that rocket is powerful enough to pierce the Earth's atmosphere and dock two human beings on a mission to the International Space Station. What kind of weather could stop it? There are several things, including lightning, temperatures that are too cold or too hot, and even wind that can prevent a successful launch and mission. But wind at only 40 miles per hour, slower than we are required to drive in certain neighborhoods, can shut down the entire mission and launch. Yes, only 40 miles per hour. If 40 mile per hour winds can determine the launch and mission success of the most impressive rocket in recorded human history, what can the wind of the Holy Ghost do for you and me waiting on the wind? Acts 2 must be interpreted considering Acts 1, 4 through 8, where Jesus instructed his closest followers to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Just saying the Holy Ghost gets me excited. Jesus explained that they would, number one, be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Number two, receive power. Number three, receive ability. What does that mean to receive ability? Specifically, to be Christ's witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remote parts of the earth. Just as the ministry of Jesus began when the Holy Ghost descended on him like a dove when he was baptized by John the Baptist. The ministry of the disciples began when they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 must be interpreted as a special historical event, signifying a new period or dispensation, as theologians call it, and God's ultimate plan of salvation. God was preparing for launch. There are several questions that arise today as it relates to the first two chapters of Acts, where God essentially launched the modern Christian church. Our main points will respond to each of these questions. Number one, what is Pentecost? Number two, why did the disciples have to wait? Number three, how did the mighty rushing wind usher in a new era for Christianity? What is Pentecost? Is point number one. Pentecost is a way of worship. Pentecost was the first day after Jesus left earth that the followers of Jesus experienced the same power that Jesus, as they experienced while in the physical human presence of Jesus. But make no mistake about it, Pentecost is as much about being in the right place at the right time as it is about the experience of God's power. In other words, a person positively positions themselves to experience God's power when they are in the right place at the right time with the right posture. To be clear, the right place doesn't necessarily have to be a church facility, but the right place does mean having the right position, being in the right place mentally, so that we aren't just hearers of God's word, but also doers of his word. Being in the right place means being emotionally prepared to receive what God has for us. Being in the right place at the right time and with the right posture means having an open heart, open eyes, open ears, an open mind, clean hands, lifted heads, and open mouths when appropriate. Here's what I mean. Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait in an upper room for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What did one accord look like? If being in the right physical place wasn't enough, what did it mean to have the right posture or be on one accord? The Bible teaches, according to Psalm 51, that they had to have an open heart. That is a heart in the right posture for being formed in the way God desires. David told us, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, O God. Make me to hear joy and gladness so I can worship. On that day of Pentecost, they had to open eyes, because Matthew 6 and 22 says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. They had to open ears. Paul said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They had to have an open mind, because Romans 12 and 2 says be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. They had to have clean hands, because 1 Timothy 2 and 8 says, in every place we should pray, lift holy hands and be without anger. They had to have lifted heads, because Psalm 24 said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And finally, they had to have open mouths, because Romans 10 and 9 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And anyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the good news. Being in the right place at the right time with the right posture is what Pentecost is all about. Complete obedience and surrender. That's worship. Point number two, why did the disciples have to wait? Waiting is a sacrifice of worship. To understand the day of Pentecost, we must understand the Jewish feast of Pentecost. It was not by coincidence that God poured out his spirit on the disciples on that day. There were three great Jewish feasts each year: the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Tabernacles. Pentecost was an initial harvest feast where the Jews were to offer to the Lord the first fruits of their increase. Among other rituals, they were to wave before the Lord two loaves of wheat bread made with leaven. This picture came to fulfillment in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Until this time, the Lord's people consisted of Israel, along with a few Gentiles. Not all in Israel were believers, but it was through that nation that God chose to implement his covenant or plan of salvation. As we fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus told Peter that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. The church founded on the life and witness of Jesus as God's means of taking the gospel to the nations, resulting in his being glorified in all the earth. What does that mean historically for us? That means God didn't end the world when he chose a group of people to be his children. He continued building his church, his tribe, his kingdom, so that all men and women would have a chance at eternal life. He could have ended the world when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. You remember that? When they crossed the Jordan River. Do you remember that? Or when they marched around the walls of Jericho. Do you remember that? Or when they entered the promised land, but he did not. He made his chosen children of Israel sacrifice and wait on the ultimate plan of salvation, Jesus the Christ. Just as he made the disciples wait for 10 days in the upper room for the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Ultimately, God waited. You know who he waited for? He waited for you and he waited for me to have a chance at eternal life. The period of time that is synonymous with a waiting period is called grace. I'm so grateful for God's grace. In the upper room, they waited for others from different nations to be gathered so that different people could experience God's presence and his power. That is why the Bible says when the Holy Ghost filled them, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. They began to speak in the languages that others could understand. The only way they were able to share God's goodness to foreigners was because the Spirit gave them utterance. This is how God began to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Waiting is a sacrifice of worship. Point number three, how did the mighty Russian wind usher in a new era of Christianity? Wind is an indication of worship. Jesus told the disciples that he would send the Holy Ghost to be with them forever. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were baptized with the Holy Ghost in fulfillment of Jesus' promise. In Acts 8, the Spirit was poured out on the Samaritans through the apostles so that both they and the apostles would realize that they were now members of the same body of Christ. The same thing happened with the Gentiles in Acts 10 and with the followers of John's baptism in Ephesus. Once the transition was completed, all that believed in Christ received the Holy Ghost. Paul states, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." The initial outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost was marked by three symbolic events. First, there was the uncertainty of waiting. Second, the sound of a violent rushing wind that filled the house. Third, there was the miraculous ability of the people that received the Holy Ghost to communicate in foreign languages which none had previously learned. The sound of the violent rushing wind was primarily a picture of power. As you know, the wind, which you cannot see, exerts incredible power in a tornado or hurricane. Wind is capable of sidelining space shuttle rockets. In this case, the disciples heard the noise, but there is no indication they felt it blowing. It was rather a miraculous sound that came from heaven. The noise was loud enough that it gathered the crowd to find out what was happening. Both the Hebrew and Greek words for wind and spirit are the same. In Ezekiel 37, God commanded the prophet to prophesy to the winds to breathe on a valley of dry bones. When he did so, the breath of life came into them. God explains that he will put his spirit within his people and they would come to life. In John 3, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about the need to be born of the spirit. He explained the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost, like the wind, is a mighty power, but we cannot see the Holy Ghost. We can only see the effects. One of the most powerful effects is when the Holy Ghost imparts spiritual life to those who were dead in their sins. I want you to know that at the age of 9 years old, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can remember that experience as I was in James Allen, South Carolina. It was a small little church. It was actually a mission that my father was starting in James Allen, South Carolina. And the saints of God began to sing. We were called to all come to the altar, even as children. That's why I tell people, suffer little children to come unto him. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. As children, we began to first kind of mock what the adults were doing. We began to kneel. We began to pray. We began to call on the name of Jesus. But then we began to have our own experience. I began to have my own personal experience as I began to call the name of Jesus. As I called him, I felt him. As I called him, I heard him. As I called him, he answered. As I called him, I got stronger. As I called him, I began to feel weights lifted off of me. As I called him, I began to experience his light. I began to see his light, feel his light. I began to understand his love. I began to feel a freeness and a newness that took over me. And before I knew it, I was having a conversation with him that I could not even translate on my own as I began to speak in unknown tongues. And I want you to know that that same Holy Ghost that I received at the age of 9 years old in James Island, South Carolina, it carried me all of these years. There were some times when I had to get back to the altar. There were some times I had to begin to call his name again. But that was the foundation. That was when I first had the Holy Ghost come into me. That's when I began to receive him. That's when I began to know him. That's where my relationship with him began. And because of that, it covered me. It gave me a fresh anointing, a new life. It allowed me to experience God's power. And all of that comes after the sound of the wind. That's what we wait for. I want you to understand and know that most recently we've experienced so much hatred that has happened throughout this land. We've experienced death. We've experienced things that are so upsetting that our mind can't even wrap around it. The killing of a 25-year-old African-American young man named Ahmaud Arbery by two white male vigilantes in cold blood is something that many of us wish we hadn't witnessed a couple of weeks ago. Ahmaud Arbery was seemingly innocently jogging in Brunswick, Georgia when tragedy happened. It doesn't appear that Ahmaud did anything wrong. Most observers, however, have said the two men that attacked Ahmaud had the wrong posture. As a result of having the wrong posture position, those two men are behind bars and tragically, Ahmaud is dead. The killing of a first responder named Breonna Taylor is something many of you have heard about. Breonna was a 26-year-old African-American woman fatally shot in Kentucky by Louisville police after the police raided the wrong home looking for drugs. They found none. That young girl's life was ripped away from her family, friends, and the people she helped as a first responder during COVID-19. I've been wondering what would have happened if those officers waited before firing their weapons into that home. What if the court and the Louisville Police Department waited a day or two to make sure they had the right address. The killing of a 46-year-old African-American man named George Floyd is the final tragedy I want to mention this week. Mr. Floyd was taken from his vehicle during an incident in Minnesota. There's a lot that is unknown about the events of that day, but what is known is that Mr. Floyd, a man who was described as a dear friend, a twin of a former Indiana Pacer, Steven Jackson, was begging to breathe just before he tragically lost his life. After being taken from his vehicle, Mr. Floyd was handcuffed and then thrown to the ground, where three officers pinned him down. Mr. Floyd was heard on camera begging for air because of the chokehold being administered by one of the officers on the neck of Mr. Floyd. That officer had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck for over 8 minutes, including 3 minutes after Mr. Floyd was no longer responsive. Mr. Floyd had the wind knocked out of him. He could no longer breathe. He became unconscious and died. These are great tragedies. Things could have been drastically different if the posture of the men that confronted Ahmaud was different. The officers in the Breonna case waited, and if the wind and breath of life was going into Mr. Floyd's body instead of leaving it. My heart goes out to those families and everyone affected. Those tragedies have rocked America during the worst health crisis of our lifetime. But do you know what is a greater tragedy? Dying without knowing Jesus. Today may be your day. We don't know what's going to happen. There are many that are marching the streets right now. There are many that are trying to fight for justice. There are children that are being stopped by the police, and we don't know what's going to happen, but what we must know, what we must do, is make sure that we've had our own Pentecost experience, that we've allowed for Jesus to blow into us, to breathe on us, that we may become a living soul. Each of them with a bullet or a chokehold got the wind knocked out of them, and it ended their lives and changed our communities. Imagine when God's wind of the Holy Ghost rushes in again and makes everything all right. Because one thing we know, while we might be in the midst of trouble right now, that trouble doesn't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God's wind will come back through. His Holy Ghost power will rush in again, and everything is going to be all right. I don't know about you, but I got a feeling everything is going to be all right. The old saints used to say, Jesus done told me everything is going to be all right. He will, but we will have to wait for his perfect timing. God's purpose at Pentecost was to equip his church with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost so that we would be his witnesses to all the nations, resulting in his eternal glory. I want you to ask yourself these questions as you think about this purpose. Even in the midst of pandemics and national tragedies, is my ultimate focus on God's glory? Did I even think about that as I went throughout my week? Is my daily life consciously dependent on the Holy Ghost? Is my ultimate daily desire to share the good news of Jesus with a dying world? The power of the Holy Ghost isn't given just to make us happy. It is given to make us holy so that our lives bring glory to God as we share that good news. That should be the meaning of Pentecost for you and for me. If you hesitated or couldn't answer those questions affirmatively, I want to pray for you that you experience a fresh wind of God's anointing in your life today. Would you pray? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now in the humblest manner that we know how. God, there's someone right now that's under my voice that hasn't experienced a fresh wind. We ask God right now on Pentecost Sunday that those that have not been believers will become believers. Those that haven't experienced your fresh wind will experience it right now, God, that they will be filled with your Holy Spirit. God, that it will transform their lives, that they will be able to operate in peace peace, operate in joy, operate in love, and most of all, that they will experience your light. And Lord God, that in the midst of darkness, they will now have a light within them that they can turn on brighter than ever before to be able to be a witness to somebody down in the valley trying to get home. God, we ask that you will continue to cover all of these families that have been struck by tragedy, God. Lord God, cover the protesters that are going to and fro trying to get justice, God. Cover those that don't have the right intentions, God. Look on law enforcement. Guide their feet. Guide their hands. Lord, allow them to be ye transformed by the renewing of their minds. Look on those that have rule and authority over us, that we will live a quiet and peaceable life, God. Lord God, we ask these things in your precious and holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we leave here on today, don't you forget, Pentecost is an exhibition of worship. Waiting is a sacrifice of worship. Wind is an indication of worship. Waiting on the wind.
And with its breaking, my bread is shifting the atmosphere. Every oak will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say, it's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting.